you would join me as we go to God first. Most loving, kind, wonderful God, Father, Son, and Spirit, thank you for your very presence here as you reside in each one, as you awaited us to even come into the sanctuary today. What a blessing to know that you are omnipresent. You are always with us. You care. What a glorious thing. And God, as we come to this message, I will be speaking on your words on this text that Rhonda read. And God, please speak to each one of us what we need to hear individually. And God, what a gift it is that we can come to you, ask, and know that you answer. And we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The question, what should I do? Has anyone ever posed that to themselves in maybe a whole myriad of different decisions? Have you honestly just stopped and thought, what should I do? Do we go so far as to include God in what we should do? I mean, that's the other part of that equation is, okay, I'm given this choice, and what should I do in that choice? Oh, yeah, God, how would you weigh into my decision here? So that's the premise that we want to start with. We've been given a great responsibility. And we could probably go around the room and have any number of you answer what that responsibility is. And they probably all would be correct. Everything we have belongs to God. That's a fact, that's a given, that's not up for debate. The vehicle that you came in today ultimately belongs to God. He's gifted you with that, maybe through a finance plan with the bank, but nonetheless, you have been gifted with that, but it still belongs to him. Taking care of what doesn't belong to us, but what belongs to God, is an essential part of everyday responsibilities of God's children. So we are asked, told by God, to take care of the things he's given us. How do we use what God has given us? And that's the question. How do you use your finances? How do you use your home, your car? The list could go on and on and on. And the question is, how do you use those things that he has given? Last week, we discussed the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin. We heard a message of hope for those who had gone astray. The sheep was found, the coin was found, so there was hope. There's a blessing in that. But the next parable in that story, which we have not gone through this time, is the parable of the loving father. Now, many of you would remember that as the parable of the prodigal son. And just briefly, the son effectively told his dad, I wish you were dead because I want my half, or I want my portion of the inheritance. And the father granted him that, and the son left and blew it, partied it away. But he essentially said, I want to do what I want to do. I want to take whatever and leave it at that. But when he came right down to it, he found out that he couldn't live on his own. He recognized that his father loved him. His father's servants were living better than he was. So he decided, I'm going to go home. I'm going to tell Dad I messed up. I expect nothing except I would like to be a servant. If you remember the story, his dad was watching for him. And you wonder how many days, how long his father had been watching for his son to come and say, "Dad." And his father ran, which was totally out of culture for that region, to his son and gave him a hug. And he said, "Put a coat on him. Give him the ring. He is home. My son is home." So that's the parable. And when you think about it, the lost son is a cause of rejoicing. Which one of us wouldn't have just been so excited at the return of a child, regardless of their age? The father forgives the son who turns from the path of self-destruction. And that's the point of that parable very quickly. And it follows the parables we read last week. So if you want to go back and read it, it's readily available. Today's text comes from Luke 16, verses 1 through 13, as was read. And it continues the theme of redemption that we've heard in these three previous parables. But I have to be very honest with you. I struggled with understanding this parable. This one was a little hard for me to wrap my mind around, to understand. This parable, which is directed to the disciples, in essence us, it wasn't through the ruling parties or to the scribes and Pharisees, it was to those disciples, which we are a part of, gives the example of generosity. And okay, I can get along with generosity. We experienced that. Both the approach given to us and to us is to extend generosity to others. And again, I'm thinking, that's okay. I can understand that. That makes sense. And I am fully in agreement. Not that that's important, but that's part of it. The conclusion to these parables is you can't serve God and money or physical possession or things that you think are important. Opposition to God is not just bad choices, sinful acts, or dubious professions. It also includes pursuit of wealth, comfort, and earthly influence, self-serving. That is opposition to God. If you are living your life for self-serving positioning, is that positive? Is that something that serves God? Jesus expresses that the relationship with a sinner is far more important to God than condemnation of the sin. I want you to think about that. I'm going to read that one again. I want to read it slowly. Jesus expresses that the relationship with a sinner is more important to God than the condemnation of their sin. That's huge. Because there isn't anybody that's not a sinner. Jesus came to remove that condemnation in order to restore the relationship. He came and took away that condemnation. Jesus' gift of grace is in his birth, his life, his death, resurrection, and ascension. That is our greatest asset. And we look forward to his coming back in glory to bring his kingdom. That's the gift of grace that we live under and in. Having been given this most gracious gift, do we even realize that we need it? Do we realize that we need that gift of grace? Or is our life going along not having a bunch of major hiccups, no low points, big ones, no high ones, just, does that mean that we're doing okay? Do we realize that we need God in our life? We need His presence. We need that gift of grace. The shrewd manager is not someone to be celebrated. He cheats and swindles in his job as a manager. In the parable, he is commended for handling his master's money well. And therein is where I started struggling. I'm thinking, this dude is abusing his position. He's given away half of what is owed. But his manager says, you did a good job. And I wrestled with that. But effectively, what this manager found was he had no power of his own. He had no control. And when he lost his job, he lost everything. He absolutely had no future. There was no severance pay. There was no, he's just out. So he was looking to the future. When he brought about those reductions of payments, his approach was, if I help these people down the road, maybe they'll help me. That was his mindset. In life, many of our choices come down to two outcomes. Build unrighteous wealth, self-serving, gain physical possessions here on earth, or true riches in heaven. I never really boiled it down to just those two. But in a sense, that's the story of our life. If we've worked a career and we were successful in it and we were smart with the money and we managed it well, is that a bad thing? No. But if you left out anything for future with God or supporting his life, his church, his appearance, then where was that benefit? Our wealth, our land, our health, our skills, our potential are all gifts from God. None of that is something that we own or control, and they can be taken away in a heartbeat, a car wreck, a disease. Any number of things can change. But those are gifts. Everything we have still belongs to God. As we look around, even a friendship with someone, do you own that friendship? Do you control that friendship? It's a gift. What we do with what we have been given, what is that? What do we do? What will we do? And I honestly haven't really spent a lot of time sitting down and analyzing that approach from that perspective. I think it's embedded. It's a part of what most of us do. But is it intentional? Or is it just something that we've done? We've been given a great responsibility. And it comes back to the question, what will we do? Are our choices for the present, or do we choose and build to the future with God? And I know, and I was thinking about this, all of us are getting older. So the future isn't what it used to be in our mind. Our future has more of a limited time frame than we approached it 20, 30, 40 years ago. You know, we had no guarantees, but we had a future that was out there. Well, that time is still out there. But do we think about a future with God? Or do we think of our future stopping or ending when we die? Or do we think of the future with God as really the beginning of what the future truly is? Are our choices geared toward that future, to what is out in front of us, the glorious opportunity to be in the presence of God all the time? Are we prayerfully considerate with the gifts that we have been given? Do we ask God to show us the best use of the resources that we have? He doesn't want us to empty our bank account and be destitute to just give it to the church. That really isn't productive. But he does ask us to use wisdom and to consider the use of the gifts that he's given us. The use of material wealth for our own need and even comfort is not necessarily sinful. It's not. That's what we're supposed to do. A good and wise and profitable servant does that. They use things wisely. But the parable warns us against placing those purposes before faithful service to God. So as we look at what we do, is God at the top of the list? At the bottom, is he on the list? Obviously, in this room, I trust he's on the list. But where do we put an effect with our use of those gifts that he's given us? Our great responsibility is to take what we have been given and put it toward our eternal purpose, a future, a life lived with God and with one another. And there's one word that this boils down to: relationships. Relationship with God, with Father, Son, and Spirit. Relationships with each other, our families, our church family, our neighbors. These are all the gifts that are out there. And that's a great responsibility that I believe that God has given us. That this parable talked about looking forward. And that's what this shrewd manager did. Maybe not the best way, but yet that's what he was doing. But he was pointing forward. And that's what we have to always do, is looking forward. Today, as we come to this portion of the service, we are all loved by God. And I think we all acknowledge that and recognize that. We have been gifted by Jesus with his birth, his life, sacrifice, death, resurrection, and ascension. And here in a short few weeks, we will begin the season as we go through the cycle again of talking about his birth. We are waiting for his return to this earth. And I guess I find myself, and I just mention me, when I say waiting for Jesus, there's times I've been sitting outside in the shade and thinking, please, God, send your son. I just watched the news, and I don't feel good about things. And it's not about me, God, but, I'm ready. And I can't tell you the number of people that have told me that I'm done. I'm ready. Please bring Jesus now. I'm ready for this world to end. I'm ready for the nonsense that is going on. And in some of their lives, it's chaos. And they are so ready. But we are waiting for his return to earth to establish God's kingdom. I can't imagine what that's going to be like. I kind of let my mind go and go, but I know it doesn't even touch what God's kingdom on this earth is going to be like. Jesus gave us the elements of his broken body and spilled blood to remember him and what is in the future for us. We have a relationship with God. We will be living in the very presence of God. And that will never get old. In our human minds, we might think, well, I don't know, after a few thousand years, I might not. No. There is so much more than we can fathom, because in our mind, we can't describe the God that we serve. He's that big. And he has given us the gift of our life. He's gifted us with the material things that we survive with. He's gifted us with relationships with him as well as with others. And he's just asked us, how do you treat the gifts? How do you look at things? Always looking forward. And as we partake of the elements of communion, we're admonished and told to remember everything about Jesus, past, present, and future. And he gave us those elements so that we can be in that relationship with him. Loving God, as we come to you once again, I do ask that you, God the Father, bless these elements that you put in our minds and especially in our hearts, the very magnitude of your love, and that we can recognize how much you care for us and how much Jesus has done for us. And we thank you for these elements. We thank you for your blessing. We ask for your guidance and direction on each one as we come and partake, receive the elements that you have provided. Thank you very much. In Jesus' name, amen. Come as you are led.
Lord, we ask you to work in our lives, forming, transforming, and conforming us to live a life of service to you. Guide us to serve our neighbors, showing your love. Thank you for this time together, and lead us through the next week. Amen. And finally, from Revelation 7:12, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Have a wonderful week.